Amen. So I wonder how many of you are familiar with this book? So I'm pretty familiar with it because I took driver's ed when I was 15. I've been driving ever since. This is the book, in case you don't know what it is, this is the book that has the rules for the road if you're driving on Texas state highways. And many of those rules are pretty common sense, but I began thinking about rules for the road this past week and realized there are some that are sort of unwritten rules for the road that you learn maybe from the person who teaches you to drive or you learn by experience. So I decided to go to the crowd, the Facebook crowd, and I asked the question a couple days ago, what is the most important rule that you think someone needs to know when they're learning to drive? And so I got about 70 responses to this. People have lots of ideas about what the most important rule is. And lots of them you would expect. Make sure you always buckle up. Make sure you know where the windshield wiper button is. Pay attention to your blind spot. Always be aware of what's going on around you. Assume everybody else is an idiot. That was several people said that. The one that I thought there would be more of, but only one person responded, and that was don't text and drive. But maybe everybody thinks that everybody knows that. I'm not sure everybody knows that. But some of the most interesting ones were ones that I had never really heard articulated in this particular way. My friend Chaney, who I've known since I was 15, I think we did driver's ed together, he said the most important rule is don't just look at the car in front of you, look at the car in front of them, see the big picture. I've never heard it quite articulated that way, but I thought that was pretty good. Some of you know our friend Brad Watson. His response was, look out for Australians. They're the ones on driving on the other side of the road. For those of you who don't know, Brad is Australian. But the funniest ones came actually from my preacher friends. Andy Bernard, who serves a church in California, says, yellow means punch it. Charles said, make sure the cup top for your hot coffee is securely attached. Sounds like that's one he learned from experience. Kenny Dixon, who serves the Christ Methodist in Farmers Branch, said the most important thing he learned was how to drive with your knees while eating a cheeseburger. But then Diane Dietz, who pastors a church in Pottsboro, I loved this one. Never go faster than the car in front of you. Think about that for a minute, right? Yeah. So I think what I saw and what you can hear in that is most of the unwritten rules for the road are pretty common sense. You don't really question them. But I do think that sometimes even the most commonsensical of rules we forget, and we need a refresher, right? That's why defensive driving is good. And I speak from experience. I'm not a bad driver, I just drive too fast. And so I get a ticket probably about every 4 or 5 years because I'm driving too fast. And so then I will go and I'll take defensive driving. Now, I will say to you, I haven't been in several years. So either I've not been caught or I've slowed down. But what I found in all the times I've taken defensive driving, and some of them have been in class and some of them have been online, is that it's always a refresher of what I already know. But every once in a while, I'll learn something I didn't know. Or that I hadn't paid attention to. I think that's true about life in general. Sometimes we need a refresher in the common sense rules for the road of life. And here at the beginning of 2019, as a community of faith, we are on a road together into a new year. We don't exactly know where this road is going to lead. What we can be sure of is there will be twists in the road and bends in the road, and there might be some bumps in the road because we live in a time that creates lots of opportunity for those challenges. We live in a time when what we see coming out of our nation's capital is division and disagreement, and I'm going to go to my corner and not come out, and because you think differently than I do, I'm going to vilify you. We live in a time when for the United Methodist Church, there is significant opportunity in the next 6 weeks for some significant disagreement. I hope that if you received the special newsletter that went out this week about the future of the United Methodist Church, you read it. And I hope that you will make an effort to learn more about what is happening in the United Methodist Church in the next 6 weeks. At the end of February, there's going to be a meeting of the Global United Methodist Church that is specifically for the purpose of addressing questions around how the United Methodist Church is responding to the challenge of living with our LGBTQ brothers and sisters. What will come out of that, we do not know. But there's great potential for disagreement and division. How will the United Methodist Church respond? How will we as Vista Ridge United Methodist Church respond to what comes out of that meeting? There is potential for disagreement and division. But it's not just around that. When we live life together as a community of faith, there's opportunity for disagreement and division. We're having a meeting after this worship service that is our board of trustees and our core leadership and our finance committee to talk about what is our plan for using the funds that came out of the sale of land next door. Moving forward, there's significant opportunity for disagreement in that conversation. And there may be something happening in your life and your family where you are seeing disagreement and division. So if we are a community of faith, then how do we walk the road that is before us? What are the resources that we have to help us do that in a faithful way? Well, Lisa mentioned this. The father of Methodism has a resource for us. John Wesley, who was an English Anglican priest in the 18th century. In fact, his life spanned the whole of the 18th century, 1703 to 1791. That century was a time of significant and radical social change. Now, Wesley did not intend to start a whole new church. But in response to all the change that he was seeing, he created a system of small groups. And the purpose of those small groups was to give Jesus followers a place where they could be with other people seeking to follow Jesus and might resource and support each other as they responded to all this change that was going on around them. And he felt like these groups needed disciplines that would form and reform and renew both the individual and the community. And those disciplines were taught in these small groups, and they were the people in the small groups were held accountable to these disciplines. And those disciplines were known as the general rules of the United Societies of the Methodist Movement. Now, we still see those general rules as part of our history as United Methodists. In fact, the Book of Discipline, which is the guidebook for all United Methodist churches in the world, it helps us to structure ourselves, it helps us to make decisions. These general rules are found in the Book of Discipline. They're part of who we are. So I want to read to you how John Wesley articulated these general rules. It is therefore expected of all who continue therein that they should continue to evidence their desire of salvation first by doing no harm, by avoiding evil of every kind, especially that which is most generally practiced. Second, by doing good, by being in every kind merciful after their power, as they have opportunity, doing good of every possible sort, and as far as possible to all persons. Third, by attending upon all the ordinances of God, the public worship of God, the ministry of the word, either read or expounded, the supper of the Lord, family and private prayer, searching the scriptures, fasting or abstinence. Now, that language is fairly archaic because that's language from the 18th century. But thanks to Reuben Job, who is a United Methodist pastor who wrote a small book several years ago called Three Simple Rules, he's taken those three general rules and simplified them and brought them into the 21st century. And his version of the general rules are there on the screen before you. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. These are the rules for the road that we are on, the way that we can do life together, because these are rules that'll work in any situation, in any conflict, in any environment. So over the next three Sundays, we're going to be looking at each of these three rules for the road that they might help us as we move into 2019. Beginning with do no harm. Now you hear that and you think, well, yeah, duh, who wants to hurt other people? That's simple, that's common sense. But it's not as simple as it seems at first glance. If you think about it, just by being human beings, we do harm. Think about the food you eat. Unless you're an absolute vegan, the food you ate, a lot of it was alive at one time. Think about the cars we drive. While they are way more efficient than they used to be, they still put stuff into the environment that's not good. And sometimes we cause harm and we don't even know we're doing it. Because we don't know what's going on in other people's lives. A very wise person once said, everyone you meet is in the midst of a great struggle. How do we avoid doing harm when we don't know we're doing harm? How do we avoid doing harm just because we're human beings? How do we avoid hurting others? Well, this letter that Jeanette read from today, the letter to the Romans, I think it has some guidance for that, a starting place for us. So Paul wrote this letter to the Roman church, and the Roman church was made up of two very distinct groups. There were those who came out of a traditional Jewish background and those who came out of a Gentile background. So the early church was a Jewish movement. Jews who heard the story of Jesus and made a decision that they were going to follow the way of Jesus. But an interesting thing happened for the Roman church, an interesting and challenging thing happened for the Roman church. While Emperor Claudius was in power in about 42 CE, Claudius expelled all the Jews from Rome. So that left no traditional Jewish Christians in Rome. And there's some experts who think he was seeking to cause some division within that young church. So Claudius dies, and Nero comes to power, and Nero invites the Jews to come back again. And this is about the time that Paul is writing the letter. And he's writing the letter to this church that has two very distinct groups who are oftentimes at odds with each other, coming from very different backgrounds. Very different, each of them feeling like they have reason to hate each other, each group knowing that at any point they could be persecuted for their faith. Very much a conquer and divide kind of moment here. Factions that are so focused on their differences and afraid of each other that they're not really sure how they would begin to be unified, even if they wanted to be. Now, does any of that sound familiar? This is the church to whom Paul is writing. But it is also that we are the church that Paul is writing to. We are a time that Paul is writing to. What Paul knew is that when we vilify others, we often become what we hate. And that's what leaders who lead from a place of fear often want to have happen. The way we begin to do no harm is by deciding, I will no longer return evil for evil. I will no longer return hurt for hurt. And Paul is saying, this is possible. This is doable. Especially if you understand that your identity is not found in how the Caesars of this world would identify you as different factions, as having different loyalties. Your identity is found in being a follower of Christ, as being part of the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, you do it differently. The way you are with each other is different than what the culture tells you. And it begins with blessing. I want you to hear how Eugene Peterson paraphrases this. I love the way he says this. because it's so clear and direct. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. So what Paul is saying is that as we practice this way of life, we are transformed and the world around us begins to be transformed. And the good news about do no harm is that when we do no harm, we create a safe space for the hard and challenging work of discernment. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be conflict. We are human beings. Human beings often are in conflict. But what it means about the conflict when we do no harm is that I cannot gossip about the conflict. I cannot demonize those who disagree with me. I must see them as beloved and honored children of God. I cannot try to manipulate the facts about the conflict. But by choosing to do no harm, then we begin to discover once again common ground, our common faith. We can feast at a common table. Now, this work of doing no harm, it doesn't happen instantly. This is ongoing, challenging work that we have to decide we're going to do as a community, by staying in community, by being honest and open and sometimes vulnerable with each other. We have to practice it. We have to pray about it. And really, what Paul has here is not a list of things to do in order to be a nicer person. What Paul has here is the spiritual practices that help us move into this place where we do no harm. The spiritual practice of listening deeply, of humility, of serving others, of looking for and wanting the best for others. And when we are intentional about these spiritual practices, then God will indeed move through us, move through each other, move through our relationships, and reveal to us who we really are. All of us, beloved children of God, and we will be different, and our world will be different. Glory to God.